For the purposes of the transcript, this is GAC meeting with CCNSO, October 16th, 2 p.m. Toronto local time.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's begin. As you know, our next session is a meeting with the CCNSO, and we have a few agenda items to cover. Perhaps I can turn over to Leslie Cowley, the chair of the CCNSO, to outline what they would like to discuss with us today. And welcome, as usual, to the CCNSO for joining us today.
Thank you, Heather, and it's great to be back again. Good afternoon, everybody. And I know the GAC schedule has been under pressure this week, so keeping some time for us to come visit and converse with you has been very much appreciated. So we have a list. People who know me will know I always come with a list, so apologies for that. But we thought we'd like to talk with the GAC today on a number of issues. Firstly, we have a presentation from SIDM, the Registry for .nl, and the Dutch government on some cooperative working they've been doing recently on the subject of DNSSEC. And before those of you that have heard lots about DNS think this is a technical issue, no, we're not going to talk DNSSEC specifically. This is around the cooperative model. Then we're following from that, we're hopefully going to move on to an update to GAC colleagues on the CCNSO work on contributions by country codes to ICANN, and particularly also an update on our work on the strategic plan, which you will probably recall we've presented to you on that issue before. And finally, a quick update on the study group on the use of country names and the progress of the IDN PDP, as well as the Framework of Interpretation Working Group that a number of GAC colleagues are also engaged in with the CCNSO. So without further ado, I'd like to hand over to our colleagues from the Netherlands for the start of that list, please.
Thank you very much, Leslie. I'm taking the floor as first one, but it could evenly be Sigurd Springer from SIDN next to me, because one of us has to do the beginning words. As Leslie outlined, this we want to exchange with you, share with you some experiences on the national level in the way we try to promote and stimulate also the implementation of DNSSEC. What we will do is very shortly is an introduction of my colleague of SIDN. We will introduce what DNSSEC is in a very basic way without getting into technical details. And then in the way that SIDN itself has a very, good working methods, a practice in which there has been a huge success in implementation of DNSSEC. And I will say something about the Dutch government and the way we stimulate and we support implementation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to share some of our experience regarding DNSSEC deployment in the Netherlands. As Thomas said, my name is Sigurd Springer. I'm responsible for marketing, communication, and new business at SIDN. You probably know SIDN, but just to make sure, we are the registry for .nl. SIDN is a private, independent organization, and we work with a non... the presentation is missing, sorry. So, there it is. Let me repeat then. We are an independent, private, not-for-profit organization. We are responsible for the .nl namespace since 1996, and this namespace has grown over the period of 15 years, somewhat more than 15 years' time, from 10,000 domains to over 5 million at this moment. This makes us the third largest ccTLD in the world, but we are also happy to say that we are one of the safest ccTLDs, and that is according to a McAfee study which was recently held. Throughout the years, SIDN has invested to make .nl a better and safer zone. It therefore also made sense to us to also invest in DNSSEC. DNSSEC is widely acknowledged to be an important addition And it helps to make the DNS more secure. Next slide, please. Okay, although most of you are probably familiar with DNSSEC, I shall briefly explain what it is and what it does. And I'm not a techie, so it will be really simple, and I hope it's enough. It stands for DNS Security Extensions, and what it does, it ensures that sender authentication and data integrity of DNS answers is ensured. Yeah. Simplified, we can say that when an internet user looks up a domain signed with DNSSEC, they have the certainty that they don't end up at a malicious website. And this used to be a real big issue. Next slide, please. There's only one big issue, and that is mass adoption with DNSSEC has not really taken place yet, although several countries and CCs and generic TLDs have introduced DNSSEC. And this is due to a so-called chicken and egg or bootstrapping issue. I shall briefly explain that. DNSSEC can only be effective if a lot of domains are signed in a zone, making it thus worthwhile for ISPs to validate and thus completing the DNSSEC chain of trust. DNSSEC can only be useful or successfully implemented if these three players implement DNSSEC. There's another issue which makes for this bootstrapping issue. At registrant level, there's not really a business case. That makes that registrars and ISP very important also for the successful implementation of DNSSEC are reluctant to invest in DNSSEC. So what did... Next slide, please. So what did SIDN do to solve this or to tackle this problem? We focused on three key areas. And simply said, we had to make sure that DNS worked at our registry level. We started a project to launch DNSSEC step by step in 2009. And the project was finished only last May when our systems were ready for our registrars to massively sign their domains. Another very important factor is awareness for DNSSEC. So we worked on that more or less simultaneously with the technical implementation of DNSSEC at our registry level. So we helped to inform registrars. We held workshops explaining DNSSEC, and we trained them throughout the Netherlands with an online DNSSEC course. And also we worked with other stakeholders. Netherlands is known for very important players in the internet like Surfnet and on NetLabs. And we also worked with the government to create a DNSSEC dedicated website explaining all there is to know about DNSSEC. That was a good example of cooperation with major players and stakeholders. We actively also sponsored software development of suppliers to the registrars and the ISPs. And you have to think of initiatives like OpenDNSSEC, Bind, and PowerDNS in the Netherlands. But we also engaged in active promotion and PR of DNSSEC. Our technical experts wrote various articles in leading magazines in Holland and gave presentations on DNSSEC throughout the country. But the main thing of this presentation and also a breakthrough is that we had DNSSEC at a high-profile registrant. And this registrant was our own government. In close cooperation with our government, we got DNSSEC on the comply or explain list of the Dutch government. Thomas will later explain what that is. But it means that it is virtually mandatory for government websites to sign and government ISPs to validate DNSSEC. And the third thing we did as SIDN, we came up with a financial incentive for our registrars. This is to overcome the bootstrapping issue and giving them this a business case for implementation of DNSSEC at their level. And we gave them a discount of almost 8% on a yearly basis, and this is more or less set for a period of 2 years. So every domain signed in our zone, the registrar receives a discount of 8% of his yearly fee. So what was the result of all this work? We set out a schedule to grow to an ambitious number of almost 1 million signed domain names in 2013. Thanks to our initiatives, the work together with the government and all the other stakeholders, we managed to really make a big progress. And at this moment, we are at over a million signed domain names, making the Netherlands the biggest DNSSEC zone in the world. I would like to give the word to Thomas, who can highlight what the government has done and why DNSSEC is important to them as well.
Thank you, Sigur. As you see, this breakthrough was, had nothing to do with our government, but in this case it was a trick which Dutch people are known of. They are very keen on their money, meaning that this financial incentive was really a major breakthrough, which I don't know if it works for other countries, but it works in the Netherlands. On our side, our part is, let's say, more on hands-off. Yes. Next slide, please. Our part of the story is more on a different level. I think we as Sigur said, we have a government standards body, which we host also from our ministry, which basically, in order to promote open standards and to promote interoperability, we decided that we need a couple of important infrastructure and also on service level standards to be included. It's not easy to get on the list. There are many requisites for really demonstrating that this you should be on the standards list. When you're on the standards list, it means that all government agencies should comply and should, in every, ICT project, which is subcontracted or doing yourself, they should use a standard. If they don't use it, they should have big reasons to explaining why you don't do it. So it, we call it the comply or explain list. I think many other countries know the same system. DNSSEC, as Sigurd told, was presented by experts and SCDN to be included. It's an independent body, so we couldn't, force this to be on the list. But of course, we used all the supports which we could give to have it quickly included in the list. The same we did with IPv6 already, I think, 1 or 2 years ago, which meant that IPv6 is now also compulsory for government agencies. One thing which I can add is that DNSSEC, of course, is a little bit different than another open standard, which maybe are more targeted to services or other applications. And DNSSEC, of course, is infrastructural wide. It's international. It creates a complete chain of trust, basically, in the DNS to be sure that the domain name you asked for is the domain name it says it is. And therefore, because of that, and because of the fact that DNS is relatively young, we also put a lot of effort in stimulating this. We also cooperated in the first expert group with Surfnet and other Dutch agencies or Dutch institutions to promote it. And being part of this government standards body means, of course, that we should implement it ourselves, which is, I think, an important thing, because as government we should also act on things which we promote. So we should lead by example. Next slide, please. Yes, I think I already covered this. Presentation we gave, we hope it will give other governments also a way of using themselves or maybe taking over this practice we have in Netherlands. Of course, we also, from both SCDN and CCNSO side, as the GEC side, we are also interested in other projects in other countries to implement DNSSEC. and maybe people would like to share this. And in case there's any questions, we don't have a website reference, but we can, of course, afterwards give you more reference by email about where you can find this the best practice we have used. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. The scribing is taking place. It's just that we can't see it because the server that's supposed to be streaming the scribing is down. So we will have a record of this meeting. Okay, so thank you again for that presentation. Are there any questions or comments for the... yes, please, Norway.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for to SIGN and Netherlands for this presentation. You mentioned, Sigurd, that you had sort of workshops and training and so on. So my question is what kind of feedback have you got from the registrars? They, in general, well, I suppose when you have a million domain signs, that's quite a lot. And I suppose, in general, they have been cooperative and good feedback, but because that is, I think, different countries, I think, have been discussing what about the registrars, the technical complexity of adding DNSSEC into the DNS management and so on. So I was just, in general, what sort of the feedback from the registrars, sort of, are they in general happy and they have got all the sort of training and skills requirement that they need to actually do the job and so on. So that's the question. What's the sort of kind of feedback you got from the registrars in general? Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. I think, like in many countries, the registrars have been reluctant to take up DNSSEC. Maybe also thanks to our training and promotion of DNSSEC, they have become aware that DNSSEC can also be an opportunity for them. And that is what happened in Holland. Many of the early adopters amongst the registrars have used this to promote themselves as an extra special secure registrar to their clients. And that is a major change in their perspective to DNSSEC. And I think that's a very good, benefit from our program. So we really helped them to change their view on DNSSEC. We showed them that it's secure, the technology works, and they can really focus on their business at the moment without hassle of making things work because it works perfectly. Is that clear?
Thank you very much. Next, I have Singapore, please.
Thank you very much, Netherlands, for sharing with us your success of DNSSEC implementation. I just want to know, DNSSEC also depends on the collaboration of ISPs. I just want to know, are all your ISPs supporting the DNSSEC implementation, and also do you give any incentives to them, just like the registrar? Thank you.
Sorry for that. We're currently working on this next phase because we made the first step with the registrars and we have got some volume just to also convince the ISPs to take up DNSSEC and validate the domains. But we are currently working on that. We are working on continuation of this project, but of course it's very important to finalize this chain of trust with the validation of DNSSEC by our ISPs. So that's the next phase in our approach to implementing, deploying DNSSEC in the Netherlands.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Leslie, please.
So one of the reasons why we wanted to put this on the agenda today was a very recent example of a registry and the government working together. So using that kind of frame of reference, I wondered if there were lessons that you've learned, not from working on DNSSEC generally, but in terms of cooperation, what's worked well, what maybe you would do differently if you had your chance again, what issues are transferable to other examples of working together?
Well, the main thing, I think, is trying to find or look up each other even earlier than we did with DNSSEC. So we have a close relationship with our government. Internet security and stability of our zone is very important. So we already discussed those things on various levels. But in the case of DNSSEC, we could have looked them up a little bit earlier as well. But nevertheless, we are very happy with the result. And the way we work together is very open, direct, and I can say also successful.
Maybe you can add to this that we are a small country, but we also have a very, let's say, direct lines, as Sigur said, meaning that you can, if you have these direct lines and you have the trust, which is, I think, essential between both parties, then also you can realize things much more quickly than otherwise. So you have to have a very close cooperation and getting to know each other very well. For example, I think we mentioned it, but we didn't mention it, it was on the sheet, but also SEDN organized a web seminar for government agencies in order to get acquainted with DNSSEC in order to learn, to teach them to implement it. These things are relatively easy to do for us. It's just a question of, let's say, a couple of weeks and getting the people together. So if you have the trust basis and the direct links, then I think you have almost 80% done of the job. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Do you want to add, Roloff?
Yes, please, Heather. Thank you. I'm Roloff May. I'm the CEO of SIDN. Thomas had it on his slide. I think also that governments can really help this kind of a process by leading by example. They can give the good example, but also by adopting a technology, they create quite a large demand. And although that is difficult to accomplish across all ministries, even a single ministry as a start makes already a big difference. So it's giving a good example and creating demand as a government.
Thank you. Okay, I see no more requests on that agenda item. Perhaps we can move to the next.
We will indeed. Okay, so the second item on our agenda was an update for GAC colleagues on discussions regarding CCTRD contributions to ICANN, which is a long-standing subject, and also our current contributions on the ICANN strategic plan, for which I'll turn over to Byron Holland and Roloff Meyer, who are chairs of the respective CCNSO working groups. Byron, if we could start with you.
Thank you, Leslie. My name is Byron Holland, and I'm president and CEO of CIRA, the CCTLD4.ca. And here in Toronto, also your host. So welcome, all of you. It's a pleasure to have you all here. I would just like to take a moment to, before I get started, echo the comments that we've just heard from Roloff in terms of government support around DNSSEC. As operators trying to roll it out, it makes a very significant difference if governments can stand by our side and adopt DNSSEC. So I would strongly reiterate Roloff's comments there. That said, I'm chair of the Finance Working Group. A number of you have heard from this working group before, most recently in Prague. And I will take you back there just for a moment because it was in the Prague meeting where we had certain expectations of ICANN to produce financial information to help us in our work in better understanding and determining what an appropriate financial contribution from the CCNSO community to ICANN would be. With Xavier as the new CFO, they had been using prior to him a tool known as the expense area grouping, but Xavier was not confident that it was accurately reflecting what we needed in terms of information, and at that time suggested that we needed to find a different path. That waylaid us a little bit, but I think has also provided us the opportunity to step back and reflect. And were we on the best path possible anyway? Because fundamentally, the philosophical underpinning of the dialogue at that point was a fee-for-service-oriented model. I can provide services to the CC community. We should pay something for them. What was that number? But it's a pretty straightforward fee-for-service-oriented model. During the Prague meeting and over the course of the summer and in dialogue with Xavier during that period, we believe that that possibly there's a better course, a more holistic approach to the relationship between ICANN and the CCTLD community. And that's one based not so much on a service fee-for-service model, but from a value exchange model. As you know, the CC community is very different than the G-Space community. We do our own policy development. We're beholden to the jurisdictions that we're in. We have our own registrar channels, etc. So what we've been discussing, like I say, is a more holistic approach where we are looking at the value exchange from ICANN to the CCs, but also from the CCs to ICANN. And some things are fairly straightforward. In terms of putting a number to it, we have secretariat support. ICANN very clearly identify how much that costs, and they can probably make a very good argument that we should contribute to those costs. We, on the other hand, can also make that case, and as the host here, I can very clearly and specifically tell you how much it costs to do this, and that's part of our contribution into the ICANN fold, let alone the actual cash contributions that the CCs all make. Then there are other more shared areas like IANA services, root zone management, very important to us, but we're certainly not the only ones who use that. So what is an appropriate percentage of that shared activity? So we're looking at it in a more holistic way, but we're also looking not just at the purely objective financial elements that we can crisply calculate, but also what other values do we bring? When ICANN talks about internationalization, what does that really mean? Well, part of it is you're all here, but part of it is we're the feet on the street in all of these countries. We're the ones with offices, speaking the languages, responsible for local internet communities, bringing those communities' voices forth. We actually help underpin the multi-stakeholder model. Is that of value? I mean, I think we would certainly argue that, and ICANN also argues that that is the case. So there's both an objective, pure finance-oriented component to the relationship, but also then a more subjective value exchange between the parties. And that's really the way that we're approaching this dialogue right now. As mentioned, we had hoped to be a little further along the path, but having experienced the speed bump, we've also had the opportunity to reflect, and we're going to be working on the value exchange model between here and the Beijing meeting. And we've done some preliminary work. Xavier has provided some preliminary numbers on some of the subject areas, so I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to be able to find a path with this redefined approach to it. So that's where we find ourselves today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that update, Byron. So that you know, as a result of the exchange that we had with you in Prague, we did include some language and advice, in fact, in our communique. And there were two main points that we made regarding financial budgeting and allocation of resources between and within the different constituencies of ICANN. We express that this is a matter of fundamental importance in our view, and also advised that there be the necessary tools, and we thought this was urgent, for reporting on the distribution of allocation of financial resources between and within ICANN. So those are the two main points we made, and a few days ago we received a response. Firstly, ICANN has responded, or the board has responded, that they have implemented the infrastructure required And then secondly, that ICANN is developing with the board a set of financial reports on both the ICANN operations and the new GTLD program. So that's our response, which sounds like, you know, we're working on it, if I may paraphrase in that way.
Well, first off, thank you for putting that in that communique, because it certainly, I think, is beneficial to the cause that we certainly believe in. And I would echo that. Having worked with Xavier, I think that the finance working group certainly believes that more sophisticated tools are in place. There is, without a doubt, a much higher degree of focus on this space. And I know from my dialogue with board members that I think we have their attention, and they're definitely working on it.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for Byron on this? UK, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Byron. And this is an important issue, no doubt about it. I just wanted to add, as you may have noted from the high-level meeting yesterday, if you were able to attend that or heard reports of that, that the UK and Denmark have proposed for consideration as an issue for the second accountability and transparency review under the affirmation of commitments that transparency and accountability on all financial matters be an issue for that review. So I just wanted to underline that as a recent development on this area, which signals certainly the UK's and Denmark's concern that the deficiencies and perhaps scope for improvements in accountability and transparency be looked at by an independent review team. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, UK. I have United States, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Byron, for your presentation, but I also really want to thank you for managing to pull off what you said you could do yesterday, which is to change the weather. So thank you for today's absolutely beautiful weather for us. I really appreciate it. Secondly, I was quite taken with your very innovative, you know, far more creative approach to the issue of financial contributions, and I do hope you will continue to keep us posted, because I think it's not only pragmatic, but it's creative at the same time. So I think I certainly welcome that. And finally, I did want to concur that we certainly consider you, and I'm just speaking for myself, but I would be surprised if colleagues would disagree, that the CCTLD community is a very valuable, if not invaluable, I suppose that's a better word, you know, members of the community here, and that you should absolutely be invited to partner with ICANN and with the GAC. We should all be part of the internationalization efforts, but I think it's good to sort of keep reminding those who are developing those specific initiatives not to really superimpose new things without sort of consulting with the people whose feet are already on the ground. So I wanted to concur with that. Thank you.
Thank you. United States. Okay. Shall we move?
We'll move on. So our second element of that discussion was an update on the ICANN Strategic Plan Working Group, which GAC colleagues will remember is something also where we have feet on the ground and have talked about this with you before. Roloff.
Thank you, Leslie. Once again, my name is Roloff Meyer. This time I'm speaking as chair of the CCNSO's Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. You're probably aware that ICANN published a draft strategic plan 2013-2016 in September. As a working group, we went through this plan, and our first conclusion was that there was very little change. in respect to the previous version of the plan, the 2012 to 2015 version. Our second conclusion was that something like over 90% of our recommendations or suggestions for improvement of that earlier plan had not been implemented in the present version. We had a session with ICANN staff, and during that session it became clear to us that there was so little change in the plan for at least for one reason, and it was that the new CEO had not been really taken up in that process, which is, I think, fairly logic because the plan came out something like mid-September. I think that's about a few weeks after he started. It also became clear to us that ICANN expects that the whole process of coming up with a strategic plan and the way a strategic plan looks will change somewhere in the first half of next year. So on the basis of that, as a working group, we recommended that ICANN stops working on that 13-16 version of the strategic plan, because there's not really a point in doing so. The present plan is valid until 2015. We know that long before that, there will be something else, hopefully better. What we've heard from the first highlight of intentions, we think that quite a few of our recommendations will then be taken into account. So there's not really a point in proceeding on this way. And it's also, I think I can risk sending out a strange message if you come up with a plan that extends until 2016, while you know that in 2013 already you are going to significantly change it.
Thank you for that update. Are there any comments on that, on the strategic plan? Okay. Well, we can certainly take note of that. Thank you. Italy, please.
No, just a question. Is this the result of the working group is public?
I will repeat myself along the same lines during the public forum, so then it's really public, but we will also do two things in writing. The first one is that we will put what I just said in writing as input for the present process, and as input for the new process, we will come up with a high-level document of our major recommendations on previous versions of the strategic plan that have not yet been taken into account.
It's also public. Stefano, we had our engagement with the board this morning, and this was a topic of discussion there. And in addition to Roloff's comments, we also talked a little bit about areas of the community giving input and then not feeling as though you are heard. And that was of concern to us. Now, the CCNSO is not most certainly expecting all of our suggested changes to be taken into account. But it's quite difficult when an area of the community makes input and it seems to go into a black hole somewhere and none of it be reflected in the strategic plan. So very much I think the CCNSO is looking forward to the new process and to exploring how all of the areas of the community can feel that they have input and either that's been taken on board or understanding why a different path has been taken. And I'm sure that under the new leadership that there is a commitment to doing just that.
Okay, may I just say something? Okay, this is important for us, and although the GAC never entered so directly in the strategic plan or in commenting the budget and so on. But in view of the new review panel on accountability and transparency, no doubt that this is for us good for food for thought.
Thank you, Italy. Are there any more requests for the floor? Okay, Leslie.
Okay, so item number 3 is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group update, for which I have Keith Davidson, the chair of that working group. Just a reminder to colleagues, this is a working group where the CCNSO is working very, very closely with the GAC. It's of high interest to many of us, if not all of us.
Thank you, Leslie. And my name's Keith Davidson. I'm from New Zealand and the chair of the FOI Working Group and also vice chair of the CCNSO Council. The framework of interpretation working group was established around 2 years ago to look at the outcomes of what was formerly called the Delegations and Redelegations Working Group, which compiled a study of or an investigation into all of the redelegations and delegations of CCTLDs that had occurred since the inception of ICANN and reported a number of issues that related to those individual delegations and redelegations. And so the Framework of Interpretation Working Group was established to provide a framework that would be more robust and provide more predictable results. Next slide, please. Today, this is the outline of the presentation I'll give. There's the scope of the framework, the process that we're using, the topics that we are interpreting, our recent activities, the topic of consent, the topic of significantly interested parties, and the topic of revocation, which are the three substantive chapters of our work. Next slide, please. For the working group, the applicable policies and guidelines are RFC 1591 and the GAC principles of 2005. There are a number of other founding documents that have been floated, but these two have met a threshold provide us our guidance. So, as I said, we're seeking to add colour and depth to these existing policies and guidelines, and definitively out of scope is us inventing any policy or guideline on the fly that's beyond our remit. For example, part of the work of the Delegation and Redelegation Working Group was highlighting that there was no policy on the retirement of CCTLDs, so we've identified that as an area that needs policy, so it's further work to be done by another working group under a policy development process in the future. Also, the IANA functions contract, including the contract implementation issues or procedures, is beyond our scope. And could I add that I also feel out of scope is for us to discuss matters relating to any individual delegation or redelegation, and that our while we're happy to talk individually with people who may have had an unusual experience, we can't provide any advice in that regard. Next slide, please. The process is that we've divided our work into these various topics, themes, or chapters, and we initially have a draft on a topic, which then goes to the working group, and we kick it around several times until we have what we believe is an acceptable consensus for a draft set of interpretations for that topic. We then undertake a public consultation on that draft set of interpretations. We review the comments and input from that public consultation, and we prepare a final report on that topic. Next slide. We are seeking GAC support and CCNSO support for each of the final reports as they come up, and the GAC has indicated its support for that as a process, but reserving its right to give a final seal of approval when we get to the end of the whole process, so a final review at that point. And the intent is that the final report, the final framework of interpretation, be submitted to the ICANN board by the CCNSO, including confirmation of support by the GAC and the CCNSO, and by utilising that vehicle, if it pleases the GAC to that degree, the GAC would be providing it to the board as advice and therefore binding on the CCNSO and future delegations and redelegations. Next slide. The topics, the three major topics, consent. We have completed our final report, which the GAC gave its interim approval for. We have also completed our work on the significantly interested parties, and again the GAC have provided some input, and we are preparing our final report, and some comments on the GAC's input to that is being considered at the working group's meeting this Thursday. Our third significant area of work is what we're currently working on, that's revocation, and RFC 1591 refers to revocation of a delegation of a CCTLD, and we're trying to understand that and what that might mean vis-a-vis unconsented redelegations. And that's taken us quite some time. We were working on it in Prague, and we may finish our work on that topic here, or it may progress a little further. Once we've done those three major topics, we will finalise our glossary or terminology paper, and this is to provide a set of wordings to be used for delegations and redelegations by IANA, so we've got a consistent terminology and a consistent understanding of what that terminology might mean. And then also working on recommendations for IANA reports and how they might be structured. And so that's a topic once we finish the rest of our work. Next slide, please. Since Prague, the working group's met six times by teleconference. We published a progress report on our activities since Prague, which is linked through the CCNSO agenda to this meeting. And as I said, we're currently working on revocation. Next slide. Next slide, please. And the final report, if anyone's interested, the final report on consent can be found there. And it will be included in the final total document from the FOI to the CCNSO and the GAC in due course. Next slide, please. Next slide. I think we've really covered that. Next slide. And yes, we're working steadily on this topic of revocation. We think our first public consultation probably will occur, I guess, summer 2013 is a misnomer because it's summer for some and winter for others, but by Beijing we believe we'll be in the process of consulting on this topic. Next slide, please. And the working group is meeting 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Thursday in Harbour C. And as I've said, revocation is the focus. And as always, observers are welcome. So if anyone in the any of our GAC colleagues would like to come along, and I hope our GAC members of the working group will be in attendance, and that you'll have your work completed by then. I know in the last couple of meetings it's been quite tight in terms of GAC communique time and our working group times, but I hope you can make it. Next slide, please. And there's a link to all our working group documents and the contacts for myself and Bernie Turcotte, who is the ICANN's support person for this working group. And with that, thank you.
Thank you very much for that thorough update on the work of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which relates to country codes and the various documents that exist in relation to delegation and redelegation matters for country codes. So, are there any questions for Keith about the working group? I don't see any. So we do have an invitation to join their meeting on Thursday to catch up with what's happening there. And also GAC members may wish to join in other ways or participate in other ways, and we are welcome to do that. We have assigned leads and others that that have been trying to participate, but the door is open. Okay. All right. So I think we can move to the next item.
Okay. Thank you. So item four, only two more left, don't worry. Item four is the study group on the use of country names. We have a study group ongoing on that, and I'd like to call on Paul Schindler to introduce that subject.
Thank you, Leslie. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Paul Schindler, and I'm chair of the Country and Territory Names Study Group. And my day job, I work for AUDA, the .au manager. And as ever, it's a pleasure to be back in this room again. I've presented to the GAC on two separate occasions regarding our work, both in Costa Rica and Prague. So I'll refrain from going into a very detailed explanation of our scope and charter. But for those that might have missed it, I will say that the study group was established by the CCNSO Council in late 2010. And as with any good study group, we draw our membership from across the ICANN community. We're due to conclude our work in the first quarter of 2013. And that will be a report to the CCNSO Council and, if appropriate, recommendations for further work. In brief, we are looking at ICANN's policies and practices as they relate to country and territory names, something that will be of great interest to GAC members. Specifically, we're looking at the IDN landscape, CCTLDs, new GTLDs, and anywhere in the policies that the issue of country names comes up. As everyone will appreciate, there isn't necessarily consistency across the different policies, and this of itself may not be a problem. But we're also gazing into the future as our market becomes more complex with IDNs and new GTLDs to see whether there is and will continue to be predictability and consistency in how country and territory names are treated, or if there are any gaps, potential problems that might need to be addressed. And I stress that it's not within the study group's charter to propose additional protection for country names, but we will, if necessary, flag areas where refinement may be required. With that, I just wanted to highlight two particular issues to the GAC today, and the first is on the screen. That is a survey that was conducted or is being conducted by UNESCO on the study group's part. It surveyed 39 member states of UNESCO, and I stress that these countries weren't selected by the study group. They were selected by UNESCO, given their expertise. And the brief was simply, could you please ensure geographic diversity, linguistic diversity, diversity of script, and if possible, include countries that may have more than one official language. It was a very simple survey. It's only 10 questions. I've presented that here before. But it's basically, in what ways do you represent your country? What is your two-letter ISO code? What is your three-letter code? What is your country's long and short form name? And what is your country's name in the six languages of the UN, et cetera, et cetera? To date, the survey response hasn't been overwhelming. We understand that these things take time, and hopefully we've left ourselves and administrations enough time to do this. The ones that are in bold and underlined up there are the ones that have provided responses to date, and the data that we're getting from them is very good. I'll give you an example of New Zealand, Frank, where, of course, the responses came back both in English and the Maori language. And it's very interesting to look at how Azerbaijan or Armenia or Greece is referred to in the Maori language. It may not be consistent with anywhere else. So this is really a data-gathering exercise. So the purpose of my request today is basically, if there are any GAC members here or following remotely or see the briefing afterwards whose countries are up there and you think that you may be in a position to assist us with really making sure that the survey has come across the right person's desk, perhaps you may know someone in your administration, perhaps it may be you, that may be able to assist with the survey. I stress this is obviously a very unofficial approach made on a one-by-one basis, and that UNESCO is continuing to try to solicit more input through posts. But hopefully there may be some members here that could assist us. And if so, please have a word with either myself or Bart Boswinkle from ICANN staff, because that would be of great assistance. the final point I wanted to make was that this survey will also soon be circulated to the rest of the ICANN community. So we will send a letter formally to the SO and AC chairs, including Heather. And again, we will be... Now you know. And that letter will, again, simply be a request to help with the survey and to help gather data for this process. It will not be something that requires GAC plenary consideration or consensus, but if members could assist, again, on an individual basis, that would be really greatly appreciated. Because, again, the more data we get back, the better our recommendations will be and the better final outcome. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Paul. Ah, I see Greece and I see UK.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for this presentation. I have two questions, actually. Why some countries are underlined and bold and some others not? And the second question is that I'm not aware of this questionnaire, so I will be very happy to help, and if there is the possibility to have this questionnaire, it will be very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you again. Although I firstly, the ones that are bolded and underlined have responded and have provided information back. When we aggregate this data and begin to analyse it, obviously that which has been received through UNESCO official channels will be granted a particular status in comparison to the broader data gathering we get within the ICANN community. But this is precisely why I brought the issue up here, because there are people within the GNSO, CCNSO, I'm sure there's people, CCNSO who are close to government and know who the right people are that they should speak to, and was hoping this may be the same case here. So again, any assistance you can offer would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. A quick reply, Bart?
Yeah, just in addition, what you should remember with the UNESCO survey, this goes through UNESCO channels, and that's probably one of the reasons why you haven't seen it service. I don't know how your UNESCO channels go, but this is specifically done through the UNESCO channels.
Thank you. UK, please.
Thanks very much. It's very interesting. I just wanted to intervene to correct a name on that list, actually. Maybe a typo. Number 7 under Latin American Caribbean should be St. Lucia, L-U-C-I-A. When I went there, I don't remember encountering anybody who spoke French. I hope that's helpful.
Okay, instant feedback from the GAC. All right, India, please.
Thank you, Chair. We are not knowing whether they received this kind of survey from UNESCO. If we let know or we get it here or what channel it is coming up, we are not aware. So on this, we support this study and we would like to be participating in that.
Thank you, India. So I will look for the invitation to arrive in my inbox, and we'll forward that to the GAC list so that you are able to reply based on your interest. And thank you for bringing this update to us today. Okay, so I think we have one more item, Leslie.
We do indeed, and this is the opportunity to get a number of acronyms into one sentence. So this is an update on the CCNSO, IDN, CC, PDP, from our secretariat, Bart.
To make it more complicated, this was from Working Group 1, and we have a Working Group 2 as well. Okay, this is about probably, this is on the update on the draft policy for the selection of IDN CCTLDs. So to put it in perspective, in time it is, it should replace the current fast track methodology, which is not a policy. So in that sense, it's very, we've been working on it for quite some time. Again, for a general context, it builds on the current fast-track methodology. It takes into account, say, 3 years of experience with the fast-track methodology, 2 reviews, and the input received both from the GAC, CCTLD communities, and others. The major changes, if you compare the methodology and the overall policy, are in the areas of confusingly similarity. There is a placeholder for IDN variant management. We're waiting for the outcome of the variant issue program of ICANN, and that might take some time, but in time that needs, so the policy needs to be revisited to take that into consideration, but we didn't want to wait for it. And finally, there is an update and clarification of the processes involved in the selection of an IDN CCTLD according to the methodology. So there is a more clearer separation between criteria and processes. The fast track process itself and the implementation plan, it's a mix of procedures, processes, and criteria all along each other. So that's the way it's been drafted. I think the major issue over the last year, and not just I think in the GAC, but also in the CCTLD community, has been the issue of confusing the similarity. In San Francisco, there was a small working group who started to focus on confusing the similarity with more input from the technical community. That, again, didn't move fast forward, so at the end, again, it was brought back to the working group itself. And based on the final discussions we had at the Prague meeting and afterwards, we came up with the draft overall policy, which is now published. So I'll go just briefly through the major changes regarding confusing the similarity. The first, and I think important one, that we learned is that the standard for confusing the similarity has been adjusted. The standard is now more focused and more limited. So you don't have, it should focus on, say, generally used fonts. It is more on the perceived confusingly similar, the perception of strings instead of what a reasonable internet user might expect. So based on that, say, overall standard, it became clear that, say, future work, either, probably part of the implementation plan is to underpin this new standard with methods and criteria to do the confusingly review itself. And again, one of the recommendations in the overall policy is that at the end, the implementation plan needs to be adopted and monitored by the CCNSO itself, so you don't end up with an implementation plan that goes off on its own. So there is constantly feedback between the CCNSO and the implementation team. Excuse me. My fingers are too big. Finally, and this is also regarding the method and criteria for doing the confusingly similarity, there is direction in the overall policy what should be included in the method. To date, it's mostly a linguistic and technical component, and I'm talking just confusingly similarity. As a result of the experience, say, with the fast-track process, it's clearly what was, say, it became very clear there was one major lacking component that has to do, and now I'm getting very much into the details, but it's very important to understand, it's on cognitive psychology. This is on how people perceive written language and how people perceive language on screens. And that's because in order to make a real understanding whether something is confusingly similar, you also need to know how this is perceived. And if you just have a linguistic and technical component, it doesn't work. You're lacking some of the parts. And that's, thanks again, that's what we learned through the fast-track process. Finally, and this is more a procedural side of it, the proposal is to make it a two-stage review. The role and responsibilities of each of the two panels need to be specified again in legislation. But so there is a primary review, and then there will be a final and second review of the confusingly similarities. So it's again a two-stage process. Yeah. And again, learning from the fast-track process in the procedural part of the policy, there is an explicit description of the communications that need to take place between, say, the panel staff and the requester of the IDN CCTLD string, and that, say, in that communication. At a minimum, the names of the panelists should be recorded, the rationale for the decisions, and some other stuff. But these are the definite minimum standards for the communication. And again, that's what we learned. And finally, in the transitional arrangement for the between the fast-track process and the overall policy, there is it is... Say what is recommended is that IDN CCTLD strings who did not pass through the fast track process because they failed on the current IDN or the confusingly similarity test should be enabled to go through the second review again. So they get back, or they halted, or they're still in the process. It depends on the status, but at least that, say, the current decisions of depending on if they want to, but the current review can go through the second stage. Just a bit on the timeline. I won't keep this short. Finalization of the draft is between now and, say, at the end of this meeting, the comment period on the draft policy recommendations will close. Based on, say, then the draft needs to be finalized. That will be submitted to the issue manager of the whole policy process. That will result in an interim report that combines the two elements of the policy development process. That will be published as a final report or interim report, then a final report will be submitted to the CCNSO Council before the Beijing meeting, so that can be discussed by the community and by the Council at the Beijing meeting. And at that time, the GAC, again, this is formal, a formal part of the PDP, the GAC will receive a request for advice or comments from the chair of the CCNSO. And then it goes into CCNSO members' vote, and that's the end of the PDP, I hope. That was all.
Many thanks for that, Bart. So, questions, Greece, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Bart, for this presentation of your proposal, which consists of things that we have already mentioned during the second annual review process. And now we're waiting to see how this proposal will finalize and how it will be implemented by ICANN. Just a question for clarification. During the transition process, applications that have refused due to confidentiality issues should be reapplied, or for our case, we say all the time that our case is still open, so
they can use you. To maybe I wasn't clear enough, say, because they're part of the confusingly similarity review, they stuck at the confusingly similarity review. Unless it's terminated, then they're out. But if they're still in the process, then they can go into the second review panel, and according to the rules of the overall policy. That's at least the proposal as it is in the policy.
Automatically, so that means I don't have to reapply again.
You don't have to reapply, but you have to indicate you want this.
Good. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Greece. I have Germany and EU Commission.
Yes, thank you for this presentation, because I think it's a very important issue, because it's related to a question of national sovereignty and languages. And I think we here in the GAC have discussed it in the past quite often. And in the fast track, we noticed that there were some problems in respect of this. And I would really encourage you to find some kind of method that is really objective in this respect, and establish some criteria that everybody could understand afterwards, after decision. What I also would like to welcome is that there's a second examination possible, because as we heard in the current round, they are now stuck, those applications. And as I said before, this caused quite a lot of discussions also in the CAC. Thank you.
Thank you. Germany, EU Commission, please.
Thank you very much. Adding on to what Greece and Germany already said, we would wish to underline quite forcefully that we think that this should be solved as a matter of urgency. And these issues were highlighted already in the Prague communique. So Beijing is still quite far away, so we should not in any way have any delays resulting, we think, from the consideration of the IDN CCTLDs applied during the fast-track process. So thank you for your attention.
Just for clarification, this is about the overall policy, and it will replace in due time, but unfortunately we have to follow a certain process. So I say maybe at some stage it is possible to find a solution, but this policy has to follow its due course, unfortunately.
Thank you. Are there any other more comments? Yes, UK, please.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick question. At what stage of the policy development process will you be seeking GAC advice? I'm asking this question in the context of ATRT recommendations that we engage in policy development a lot earlier than has been the case in the past. So just a clarification.
Yeah,
thanks.
There is, in fact, say, according to the current policy development process, this policy has been taking quite some time because we wanted to learn from the fast track. The policy process itself has been initiated at the same time or even before the fast track was developed. As a result, say some of your colleagues are observer on the working groups. According to the bylaws, the GAC has been forewarned at that time, and now we're talking about 2008, I believe, is that this is running, and that's why we kept you updated. According to the bylaws, the moment you need to be informed and are requested, formally requested for advice, is as the moment that the chair of the CCNSO receives the final report. And that is just before Beijing, because we have to go through another step of consultations.
But I think the key thing here is that doesn't come as a complete surprise to GAC colleagues, which is why we try to have the ongoing dialogue with you all.
Thank you. Okay. So thank you very much to the CCNSO. Oh, India, sorry, please, if you have a comment.
Thanks, Chair. One question regarding this fast track process is still on, or is it going to be over by some period when the other generic process is going to be? That question.
The fast track, and again, that's probably the recommendation. The fast track process is still there until this process, say the overall policy, is implemented and takes over from the fast track process. And No. Unfortunately for you, no.
Okay. So thank you very much to the CCNSO. We've covered a lot of issues today and really received some great presentations. Thank you to all those that presented to us. And I guess we'll meet again. there's more to discuss. So thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
For the GAC, we have a 30-minute break. 4 o'clock, please.
Avec les
tick, tick.
Do you think it's best that you represent the youth?
Yes.
They're
at my...
No, it's okay.
Do you like him?
Was heißt Nummer 60?
over there.
If you have any.
Check, check, check.